not live by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Into hour number two, our history lesson today on this Friday, August 23rd, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us now is Pastor Chatfield, and he has a lesson planned for us today. Abraham Lincoln's Cooper Union Address, February 27th, 1860. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
This was right before he got elected the first Republican president in November of 1860?
Correct, and it's before the convention. A lot of historians say this is the speech that really kind of gave him the nomination. He was, at this point, still somewhat of a dark horse. He wasn't. William Seward was from New York, was kind of a leader. There was a couple of other people that were leaders in the Republican Party. He was somewhat of a dark horse. And he began at, you know, to call himself the rail splitter, and everybody had their own little niche that they tried to portray themselves, and that's who he was. But he was brilliant. And a lot of times we want to say how good Abraham Lincoln was, and I think he was a good man, but he was a brilliant man. And so this speech, basically, it was his longest speech. When given its entirety, it's almost an hour, his longest speech that we have recorded. And the first part of his speech is kind of addressed to the country, especially to Senator Douglas, Stephen Douglas of Illinois, that was who had defeated him in 1858. For the Senate race in Illinois, and basically the first part of the speech, the bulk of his speech, he used this quote by Stephen Douglas. He said, "Our fathers, when they framed the government under which we live, understood this question just as well, or even better than we do now, the question of slavery." And Lincoln says, "I agree." Okay, let me walk you through history here. And this is back in the day when people read speeches and cared about history. Most people don't care. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. That is kind of the way it is. Basically, and he makes the argument that the same people that wrote the Constitution at the Constitutional Convention, the people that ratified the Constitution, they passed the Northwest Ordinance. It was first passed in 1787, then passed again in 1789. The same people that wrote the Constitution were, by and large, the same people which passed the Northwest Ordinance, which restricted slavery in the territories. So Douglas was making the argument, oh, so slavery's in the Constitution. Okay. It's nowhere explicitly mentioned in the Constitution, slavery, but it's implicitly there, true. True enough, and Lincoln admits as much. But the people that passed the Constitution, that wrote the Constitution, ratified it, they all understood that the federal government could at least put some restrictions on slavery, and he proves that. he quotes Jefferson in Washington. And Jefferson was wanted the gradual emancipation of slavery and resettlement back in Africa. I know that sounds really racist now, and that's what Lincoln originally wanted. He originally wanted emancipation gradually and resettle people back in Africa, and we did that a little bit anyway. The country of Liberia, with a capital Monrovia, was in Africa, was by freed slaves that were sent back, and that was a liberal position back then. Now, obviously, eventually, when there became 3 million slaves, that became impossible, and Lincoln understood that. But so we'll stop there. I hear the music.
Yes, you do. Excellent place for a break. He's Pastor Chatfield. I'm Trucker Randy. We'll be right back.
Epoxy Pro, a veteran-owned company serving Michigan, Wisconsin, and Illinois for over 38 years. Epoxy Pro provides one-and-done forever floors that are maintenance-free and easy to clean. Preserve, protect, and even restore your concrete floors today. Check us out online at epoxypro.com or call us at 877-703-7699. Epoxy Pro, your floors today. Call us at 877-703-7699.
Hey, Patriots, this is the boss of Veteran John, his wife, Jamie, in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth, Mega Water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, and veteran-owned. Go to megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Hey, Patriots, Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth, Mega Water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran-owned. Go to megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go, and you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
In northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Abraham Lincoln's Cooper Union Address, February 27, 1860. And I found it kind of interesting. I got a text during the break, past Jeffield. February 27th, 2024, the same day, February 27th, 1860. This was the day this year that we had our presidential primary here in the state of Michigan. They just thought it was interesting, February 27th. But go ahead and pick up where you left off.
Okay, so he destroys Douglas in this. I mean, you want to be with the men that wrote the Constitution? Fine. Then the federal government has the power to restrict slavery. See, the Democrats here were, there's so many parallels to today. They were accusing the Republicans of being insurrectionists or radicals. And Lincoln is saying, we're not the radicals. You're the radicals. All we're saying is that we want to restrict slavery. We don't want it going into the territories. Lincoln said that over and over and over. I have no intentions to attack slavery where it already exists. I don't have any inclination to do it. I have no legal right to do it. But they wouldn't believe it. And basically they said, the Democrats said, you guys are radicals. You're the party of John Brown. John Brown was the guy that led a failed, terrible, weak insurrection and failed in 1859. And he says, you charge that we stir up insurrections among your slaves. We deny it. And what is your proof? Harper's Ferry. That's where it was, Harper's Ferry, Virginia, right, which is now West Virginia. John Brown. Then Lincoln says, John Brown was no Republican. You know, as on your show, you know this.
Yep.
Randy Bishop, Trucker Randy, I mean, you guys are the real, this is the rock-ribbed base of the Republican Party or whatever. I mean, they're the patriot base. I mean, that's like calling, I don't know, some somewhat moderate Republican senator a radical. They're not radicals at all. The Republican Party at this point, remember, in 1860, by and large, they were very moderate. They didn't want slavery extended into the territories, but they were not abolitionists. So what the Democrats were trying to do is paint the entire party as abolitionists, calling them black Republicans. And they weren't. And Lincoln wasn't. Remember that. Lincoln was not an abolitionist. He just didn't. He hated slavery, but he could see that it was implicitly in the Constitution, three different places. And he just wanted to restrict the enlargement of it. So he denies the fact that they're insurrectionists. See, I mean, this is like the Democrats today. Oh, the Republican Party, they're insurrectionists. And let me just tell you something. The truth of the matter is the other side, they're the real threat. I mean, and you guys know this, and I don't want to stir up anything, but when President Trump gets reelected, the other side will go ballistic. You just gotta prepare for it. And they're gonna use the threat of going ballistic as a reason for people not to vote for Trump. You understand that? That's what the Democrats did in 1860.
Yeah.
They said if a Republican's elected president, we're seceding from the Union. And it'll be your fault for electing him. If we elect a Republican, then if you elect Lincoln, it'll be your fault. So here's what they say, and Lincoln refers to this. He says, but you will not abide the election of a Republican president. In that supposed event, you say, you will destroy the Union. And then, you say, the great crime of having destroyed it will be upon us. That is cool. He used the word cool back in 1860, just so you know. That is cool.
Literally what he said.
I'm reading it. That is cool. A highwayman holds a pistol to my ear and mutters through his teeth, stand and deliver, or I shall kill you, and then you will be a murderer.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is completely illogical. If President Trump's elected, we're going to hit to the streets. You quoted some congressman saying, we're not going to abide by this. We're going to have this, that, and the other. So they're the ones that are threatening insurrection and revolution. The other side, we're not threatening that. That is the way it is. Now, I will just like to make this public announcement. I did not watch. I watched about 10, maybe 15, 20 seconds of the Democratic National Convention. And it was a little bit last night. I turned it on and saw Governor Whitmer speaking. And I said, you know what? Maybe I'll watch Everybody Loves Raymond or something. I don't know.
My Three Sons.
Something. My Three Sons. Yeah. I just couldn't abide it. And by the way, Whitmer's like a genius compared to Kamala.
Oh, yeah.
In comparison.
Whitmer's speech was really good compared to Kamala. But I watched Whitmer, and then I went back to my Tiger baseball game recording, and then they got blown out. So I went back, and just perfect timing. Vice President of the United States, you know, Kamala Harris, and I watched her entire speech. And I joked with Vicky. I made a comment toward the end of it. I said, you know what? After listening to this speech, I'm going to vote for her. And Vicky looked at me and laughed and said, oh, yeah, right. I mean, it was a good speech. Whitmer's was better. But, man, she's going to be the president of all Americans. She's going to be a president for everybody. She was really placating to the independents last night. I think that's the bottom line takeaway. She wasn't talking to their base. She was talking to the independents.
There you go. That's what you do. That's yep. That's politicking. That's what they're doing.
Yep.
If the American people allow her to get away with totally abandoning her record in the last few years, her words in the last few words, and elect her anyway, and the policies of the Biden administration, the results of the Biden administration, I don't know. Maybe we deserve what we get. I don't know. I hate to say something like that.
Right.
But there you go. I have high blood pressure, and I just there's no sense exacerbating a
right.
problem.
Yeah. You had had to take three or four pills to get through that speech last night.
So, okay. All right. Yeah. So now, the last part of this speech, the Cooper Union address, is what I wanted to focus on. Because here, he's talking to Republicans. He says, Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, this is what propelled him to national prominence, eventually helped him win the nomination and be elected president. He says, a few words now to Republicans. It is exceedingly desirable that all parts of this great Confederacy shall be at peace and in harmony one with another. Let us Republicans do our part to have it so. And I, you know, it's like, yeah, President Trump wants to bring peace to America, and he wants to bring harmony. I'm convinced of that. That's what he wants. Even though much provoked, let us do nothing through passion and ill temper. Even though the Southern people will not so much as listen to us, let us calmly consider their demands and yield to them in our deliberate view of our duty, if we possibly can. Judging by all they say and do, and by the subject and nature of their controversy with us, let us determine, if we can, what will satisfy them. Again, he's saying this, the big issue is slavery. Will they be satisfied if the territories be unconditionally surrendered to them? So Lincoln says, okay, let's just say, okay, you can bring your slaves into the territory. Will that satisfy them? We know it will not. In all their present complaints against us, the territories are scarcely mentioned. Invasions and insurrections are the rage now. With the Democrats today, this is a battle for democracy. Donald Trump will become a dictator. Our republic as we know it will cease to exist if he's elected.
Yeah.
They know better than they know that's not going to happen, but they don't even make arguments based on reality. They just say that, and people who are uneducated don't know any better. As you said, they're appealing to the middle. I listened to you in the first hour, some of it anyway. You're talking about the terrible economy that will come, the loss of sovereignty to the United States and jobs and yeah. so on and so forth. And that's all true. You're right.
Corporate tax is the big one. She wants to go to 28%. Which would make us the highest corporate tax rate in the world for countries. And that is unsustainable in the marketplace because we all know corporations don't pay taxes. They put them down as an expense to their business. They raise their prices. The consumers, we the people, pay it. And people can't afford those prices. And it's going to cause a complete economic crash when these companies start leaving our shores as far as their articles of incorporation. The woman doesn't understand the cause and effect of taxes in her plan. She laid it out. It was unbelievable. Unrealized capital gains. You got a retirement account. You have a gain that year in your account. Your economy's doing really good. Your 401k is going up. Well, you had a $300,000 gain in your retirement account. She wants 25%. She wants you to write a check for $75,000 and mail it to Washington. This woman is an idiot when it comes to taxation.
Let me quote that very staunch conservative former governor, Republican governor Rick Snyder, when he said, "Hey, corporations are people too." I remember him saying that. Yeah. I mean, Governor Snyder looks like he was some sort of right wing fanatic at this point.
Right.
In comparison, I mean, he was just a businessman, ran for governor. That's all. Okay. Yep. It looks like now the glory days in comparison. That's what it looks like. I mean, he wasn't that concerned. We know that, but at least he was a businessman. She doesn't understand that, or maybe she does understand it.
Maybe she does understand it.
Anyway, but what the Democrats were doing in 1860 is paint the Republicans as the radicals. Okay, he said, "What do you want from us?" Lincoln goes on. The question recurs: what will satisfy them? Simply this. We must not only let them alone, but we must somehow convince them that we let them alone. Now, here he's talking about slavery. See, in the Republican convention, was there a lot of talk about the rights of unborn children? No. In the Republican convention, was there a lot of talk about restoring a biblical definition of marriage is between one man and one woman? No. The Republicans now are pretty close to silent on those issues. I understand where they're coming from. But now that's why I see a few words to Republicans. Okay, now this, you got to transfer what I just said to back to 1860 about slavery. Okay, what will convince them that we let them alone? This we know by experience is no easy task. We have been so trying to convince them from the very beginning of our organization, but with no success. In all our platforms and speeches, we have constantly protested our purpose to let them alone. See, where we are right now in the United States, 2024, abortion now is left to the states. The Supreme Court in 2015, Obergefell, has said that no state can define marriage as strictly between a man and a woman. That's where we are. And it's left to and the abortion question is left to the states, and President Trump is saying this is a state question. Now you can say he shouldn't say that, but that's what he's saying. This is a state question, all right? And that's what Lincoln was saying. It's a state question. You keep your slaves. We just can't expand. You can't bring them and expand it into the territories.
Exactly the same thing that Donald Trump did. When he had the Supreme Court justices there that he appointed, where they overturned Roe v. Wade, he sent it back to the states.
Exactly. So that's where we are. That's where we are right now.
Exactly. But they're using it against them. I get it.
Yes.
Bottom of the hour news break. More discussion with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.